All right, I started sometime back when, I have no idea how to start partnering with God. Look at that third line up there. I added that. It's interesting, and we'll talk more about it in another time, but it's interesting that Christianity, when it was first formed, was called the Way. Now, because I like alliteration, I called it the Path. They weren't known for Christians for a long time, which just means little Christ, little anointed ones. But I was just sitting there going one day, what is the path that we could follow that would ensure success till the end? Now, this is a very high level, but I think there's three P's there. First of all, we need to get to know a person. And a person, of course, is Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and the Father. And that's why we mentioned the presence of God all the time. That's why we sing songs about the presence of God. The presence means a person because you're in the presence of a person. That's the first step. Get to know the Trinity. And we talked about that a lot. We talked about that a lot this year. And then the second thing is once you get to know Him, He has to be first, or else then He starts inviting you into what He's doing. And you partner with Him on that, and He gives you your peace. And it's very important to get the person first. I've been with four or five different pastors this week. We talked about that. We brought this up. Most pastors are in idolatry because they're partnering and doing things without really getting the assignment from Him first. And their identity and self-worth is in what they do. That's idolatry, because it's before Jesus Christ. But it sounds so spiritual because it's for God. But we could do that with our work. We could do that with our hobbies. But He wants us. He will put us to work. He will do stuff. And when we start working, when we have to persevere. We're not going to talk about that tonight, but we're going to talk about partnering. He invites us into what He is doing. We don't invite Him into what we want Him to do with us. That's a deep one. And that's that first point we talked about. When we get to know Him, He says, these are just principles of partnering. We've got nine total, so we'll do the sixth one tonight. I'll review the first five real quick. He becomes our owner, and we go, what are you doing in the kingdom, Jesus, and how can we help you? You're the bridegroom, we're the bride, we're the helpmate. But we want 100% ownership. And I'm telling you, this is almost non-existent in American Christianity, which means He owns everything, your time, your talents, and treasures, and we give it back to Him. But we will never fail. So that's His ways versus our ways. He's an owner versus I am an owner. And when you do, you have to do it in these orders for the most part, at least the first one. When you do make Him owner and you start partnering with Him in whatever assignments He gives you, and what's amazing is He will give you assignments that you never even thought of, but it ends up being the desires of your heart because those assignments were put into your life and put into your heart when you were born. When you got physical DNA, He also gave you spiritual DNA. And then for the first time you realized, I was created for this. Not what social media, my friends, school, my parents thought was important. I'm doing what Jesus created me to do. But you can't do that except being birthed out of relationship. Sometime down the road, I've already got the sermon written. You know how you find your purpose? You don't find your purpose. You know how you get your purpose? You don't seek your purpose. You always miss it. You find your purpose and seek your purpose by finding and seeking the person of Jesus. And you don't care about your purpose. Because you know if I hang with Him, He's going to show me my purpose. And He invites you into His purpose, and a part of it becomes your purpose. Well, I've got a lot of peas in there today, don't we? And when you're partnering with Him and He gives you an assignment, I'm telling you, in the natural, you're not going to be able to do it by earth's way because there's never enough resources. And then he comes along and goes, if I invited you into this as the senior partner, he's the senior partner, you're a junior partner, but we're partnering. He goes, we're not limited by your resources, Craig. I appreciate you trying. You are limited by the senior partner's resources. And if I asked you to do something, I'll bring the people, the time, the connections, the patents, the inventions, whatever you need. And so whenever you hit a wall and you're partnering with him and you're spending time with the person, you go, well, Jesus, we just hit a wall. I guess I'm going to stop. Unless you bring along your resources. It's all right to say that. I'm ready, but my resources are done gone. It brings a lot of peace. And it keeps us from trying to make it happen because it wasn't our idea to begin with. And as you walk with him, one of his characteristics, and we talked about each of these one night, and you could go out to YouTube and get them, is you find he is very generous with his resources. He's generous with his ideas. He's generous with his knowledge. He's generous with his wisdom. He is very generous. And so he is constantly giving away. And when we walk with him, you're going to find yourself becoming generous because you're going to become like the one he is. But in the natural people around you that do not know him as a person, they go, you got to hoard it all up. Because you don't know when you're going to get any more. That's probably a true statement. You don't know when you're going to get any more. But it doesn't really matter because your resources are his resources. And when you take on and you walk with him, you become a very generous person. And that I love the number four thing. In this world, you have to have favor, not just with God, but with man. If you're selling something, you've got to have favor with man. If you're working for somebody else, you've got to have favor with your supervisor. Favor is a big deal. And how many times have I tried to get favor for promotions, favor for whatever? And this doesn't mean that you're not a good employee. That doesn't mean you don't do what you're supposed to. But I can't tell you almost the most major strategic inflection points in my career and in my ministry is where something out of the blue came in and you go, I can't take credit for this. God just gave me favor. I got favor with him already, but favor with man, and he makes it happen. And when people go, man, you're good, well, you know, what do you say? You know you're not that good, but you're with a good God. Now and then we talk about, he helped the same thing. He helps us solve our problems. Let's talk about number six, because this is one that is a big deal. We give first fruits, not last, or no fruits. And so I'm going to talk through this, you know, in the next however long. This is a biblical principle, but it has been so screwed up by the church into almost legalism. Most of the time when you hear any teaching on first fruits, it's always about tithing your time, tithing your finances. Now, we're going to talk about that at the end, but there are two, to me, I believe in tithing. We're going to talk about it at the end, and if you don't, this is the bigger point. There are two base principles that I never hear talked about in the church, and I want to put here first, that are more important than tithing and undergird tithing. And that's honor and best. So let's talk about that. Then we will talk about the principle of tithing because it always comes up, seems to be a hang up. People go, I'm not going to give because I'm not going to tithe. Well, that's fine, but there are two basic principles. Turn over to Proverbs 3, verse 9. So I want to talk about honor, the best, and then what defines the best. This is very important to talk about because if we're going to partner with God, we need to know how to honor and how to give our best. Because those are the base principles. I don't argue with people, well, should I give 1%, 9%? You're missing the point. Proverbs 3, verse 9 says this, and I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. Yours words may be a little different. But in the New Living Translation, it says, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. Those are two biblical principles, and they're not even talking about tithing. Verse 10, then he will fill your barns with grain, and your vats will overflow with good wine. The question is this. If you're a bondservant, we want to honor God. Now, tonight, with everything, our time, our talents, but now tonight I'm going to talk specifically about finances and treasures. How do we, because this is what this verse is talking about. How do we honor the Lord with our wealth? That's the question we need to ask. Don't get hung up on the percentage. I mean, we're going to come back to that. But that's not the main question. And every one of us in here tonight go, Father, how do I honor you with the wealth you have given me? How? And then the second question is, how do I give you the best of this? Those are the questions. And typically, our way is we don't give them anything except maybe a little bit left over at the end. But there's usually nothing left over at the end. And usually, the principle is what's left over at the end is not the best. Using the agricultural examples. It's usually the leftovers. And so, the principle of honor is this. Did he save you? Did he die on the cross for you? Did God the Father give the best he had for you? Or did he give a fifth-born nephew from a whore? I'm being exaggerating here. He gave his only son the best, not for him, but for you. He models the best of the best in everything he does for you. And if we start learning to walk with him and move with him, we will take on that same characteristic. I want to give the best to honor him in what he has done. It is not a legalistic thing. It is, as I look back over my life, what else could I do but to honor him with the best that I have? It is a... When we give him the best of everything, and tonight I'm specifically talking about finances or our first fruit or whatever it is saying, you are worthy of not my leftovers. You are worthy, and I acknowledge you as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So the principle is this. Give him the best part, and it honors him. It says to the demonic realm that Sean was talking about earlier, I may not have much, but the best I have, I'm giving to him. And it brings honor to him. And it acknowledges that he is our God, and he is, that first point, our owner. So let's talk about percentages, because this is where people get hung up. Now, as we go through this, I am not advocating for a set percentage. I'm telling you what I do and what I see in scriptures. But you have to get before the Lord like I've done and go, why am I nitpicking over 4% or 3%? And it usually comes down to a selfishness, narcissistic view on my part. That's tough. I have to look at my insights. There have been times, basically since I was 13, I've tithed, which means 10%. But there have been a few times where I couldn't do it, but I went back to the Lord and I said, I didn't go to zero, I said, I'm giving you this 6% or 7%, I don't remember the numbers, I'm giving you 5%, and I honor you with it. And you deserve more. And he was honored with it because it was the best I could give at that time in the financial hardship. He was not hung up on the percentage. But I do think there's a biblical percentage as a minimum. The principle is honoring and best. There have been times I got into too much debt and I could not give what I wanted to give. And I said, Lord, I'm giving you something. I want you to be honored by it. You help me to get to a place where I need to give what I need to give. But there are too many Christians that throw a $10 bill in or this or that in. I'm just telling you, stop. Just stop. If that's the most you can afford and you're doing it with honoring and best, yes. It's not the amount, but most people do it to ease their conscience. Stop. It's not honoring to God. It's insulting. Do it with deliberance. Do it with intention. Whatever you decide to do, and get before the Lord. And if we're heavily in debt, and matter of fact, do you realize, I saw the other day, the average American, their expenses is 110% of their income. Y'all figured out what the problem is? They're spending 10% more than what they're getting in. The problem is, because I've counseled enough, and I've sort of been there at different times, I'm old enough, where it's debt, it's not just going out and eating at Zaxby's, and it has to be paid. And so you go to the Lord and say, I have not honored you with my finances. I repent. I've broken all these rules. I give you my finances. Show me what to give. And so when I was in those particular situations, I would give something even if the creditors called. And you help me to make it right because I want to honor you and give you the best and the first fruit of what I have. Those are the principles. Now, tithing, there's two major views on this. One is that tithing is not in the New Testament. It was under the law, and as a result, it's not required in the New Testament. The other one is you just pray to the Lord and ask Him what to give. For probably the first 20 years, 30 years of my Christian life, I was taught that it was not under the law. It was not in the New Testament. But I always gave 10% or more because I felt if they're doing that under the old covenant with the old rewards and the old paradigm, how much more should I be honoring and giving in the new covenant? In the new paradigm, because the new covenant is so much better. But then slowly I started actually studying it instead of just picking up, you know, so much of what we're taught is the traditions of man, what we grew up with. And that's sort of the way it is. We get it from our parents, we get it from our pastors. But after a while you go, why did they tell me this? So the principle of tithing was never under the law, because we're not under the law anymore, the Mosaic law, it's gone. Jesus Christ came and said, I have fulfilled the law and the prophets. It was instituted before the law. Genesis 4:4 does not talk about tithing, that's why I say it's a third principle. Honor is the first one, best is the good one. Genesis 4:4, way before the Mosaic law. Abel, Cain and Abel, the two boy offsprings of Adam and Eve, I'm sure there were many more, Abel also brought a gift. Here was the principle way back in Genesis. The best portions of the firstborn lambs from his flock. And the Lord accepted his gifts. I used to it never worked out in my life, but it was a goal. It would be awesome if I could give 90% and keep 10%. We never even got anywhere near there. But we did do more than 10% for a time. And there's no mention of tithing here, but there's this principle of best. Genesis 14:20. This is Abraham. Way before the Mosaic law. And blessed be God Most High who has defeated your enemies for you. This is King Melchizedek approaching Abraham. I don't want to get into this teaching, but King Melchizedek was a certain kind of priesthood that was a foretaste of the priesthood of Jesus Christ as the high priest. We do not live under the law anymore. This is for you teachers out there and research wonks. We do not live under the Levitical priesthood, but we do live. It says we're king of kings and priests of priests. We are a priest in the order of Melchizedek. Here's a visitation of Melchizedek. And Abram gave Melchizedek, this is the first mention that I know of the tithe, a tenth of all the goods he had recovered. These were goods he had fought for and won in victory in battle, and he gave a tenth to the king of Melchizedek. I don't want to get into all the teaching. If you want to do it, you can get into it. But Hebrews talks about very clearly, Jesus Christ is the high priest in the order of Melchizedek. I don't believe this was Jesus Christ then, but it was a pattern that was set up. And so, Jacob, verse 28. Y'all following me? Jacob, verse 28, verse 20. Then Jacob made this vow, if God will indeed be with me and protect me on this journey, and if he will provide me with food and clothing, and if I return safely to my father's home, then the Lord will certainly be my God. And this memorial pillar I have set up will become a place for worshiping God, and I will present to God a tenth of everything he gives me. We see this principle again, way before the Mosaic Law. Tithing in the New Testament, Matthew 23, 23. Jesus is talking to the Pharisees. What sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law, and you Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are careful to tithe even the tiniest income from your herb gardens, but you ignore the more important aspects of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. You should tithe, yes, but do not neglect the most important things. Let me give one more verse. 1 Corinthians 16, 22. And this gives the principle of honor and best. It doesn't say tithe. But you can go back and read. I'm not going to go through it. But in Hebrews 7, it talks about Abraham giving a tenth of his income to Melchizedek. And that's in the New Testament. It's Hebrews 7, verse 4. And so we see that pattern. 1 Corinthians 16, 22, there's so much we could talk about. On the first day of each week, you should each put aside a portion of the money you have earned. Don't wait until I get there and then try to collect it all at once. And so, whether you believe in strict tithing or giving, we need to honor Him with our finances and give Him the best, and we need to do something. I think 10% is, for me, is biblical, it's the minimum required, and it's a goal. But you say, I'm in debt. So this is what I tell people. Make 10% or whatever your goal. Start at 2%. If your finances are so out of whack, start at 2% and say, Father, in 3 months, help me to cut this out or cut that out or get more disciplined and move to 3% and work your way up. He's not unreasonable. He's looking for an honor. He's looking for your best. And move towards that, and He sees your heart. Because it really will change your finances for this simple reason. He's not going to continue to, He will always meet your basic needs. But He is not going to bless you if you're a black hole. If you remember nothing else, remember that. If everything He gives you is sucked into whatever. I'm not talking about sin, I'm talking about you eat out 48 times that week. Because there's a discipline involved here. And He wants to increase, but He's not going to increase the parable of the one talent, the three talents, and the five talents. He comes and He asks. As you start walking with Him as a person, He's going, we need a partner over here, and I've given you some things, time, talent, and treasures, but you're spending it all on yourself. I need you to learn how to not hoard, but contain these things so that they can be used in our partnering. And it really is almost to a T over all the decades I've counseled. Those that are in deep, I'm not talking about we don't have little blips, and I've been laid off 3 times. That is not fun. All of a sudden you have no income. I'm not talking about that, but I'm talking about patterns. I can't think of a time that somebody came to me, deep financial trouble, that gave to the Lord. I'm sure they're out there, but every one of them, they never gave. Well, there's a principle there, and I want us to be as prosperous as we can. Honor Him, give the best. If you don't believe in tithing, still shoot. What's your percentage? In the Old Testament covenant, it was 10. I think it should be even higher in the New Testament covenant, but let's start with that. He's not going to get hung up on the percentages, but He is going to get hung up, why is there stinginess here that does not honor Me? It's not a spirit of generosity. Ooh, that's some hard medicine tonight, wasn't it? That's it. Any questions, comments?